This morning, Northern Ireland's three biggest loyalist paramilitary groups have issued a joint declaration condemning criminality. In a new initiative, the UDA, UVF and the Red Hand Commando also vowed to make a meaningful contribution to improving their communities. Their announcement followed the launch of a new Loyalist Community Council at an event attended by Tony Blair's former Chief of Staff, Jonathan Powell. The launch was held on the 21st anniversary of the Loyalist ceasefire in October 1994. Here's what Jonathan Powell said at the launch.
What is happening is that people have decided from those organisations, from the UVF, the UDA, Red Hand Commandos, to draw a line, to make a fresh start, to come together in one body where they are going to make clear that they have nothing to do with criminality. Anyone who has anything to do with criminality should be dealt with by the police. They are going to try and build the sense of their community, to get a political voice for their community and try and get some investment into their community. And I think that's a worthy cause that we should all support and not leave people behind.
Now, Jonathan Powell has also warned against the idea of the loyalist groupings simply disbanding.
This is an important step which will, I hope, contribute to the government's commendable efforts to reach a more general settlement on the issue of paramilitarism and to ensure the full restoration of the institutions. Some may argue that these organisations should just disappear, but experience from around the world suggests that would be a mistake. Other violent groups would simply take over the names UVF, UDA and Red Hand Commando and carry on with paramilitarism. We really don't want to see a real UVF and a continuity UDA. It's far better the groups continue, but there is no criminality, there is no violence. They continue in a civil fashion. Given all that has happened, people will naturally be cynical and say they've heard it all before. And it's true that the real test will be in how these undertakings are implemented in practice and on the ground, rather than just today's statement.
Well, the UKIP MLA, David McNary, has been closely involved in this initiative. Well, we have heard this all before, David, haven't we?
Well, we have, and I'm going to say that after 18 months of hard, disciplined work with the three paramilitary organisations, my work is done. I signed off yesterday. I'm proud to have got the council formed and to the place it is now. And it's up to them to go forward and find new light and play their role, if there is a role for them in society, without a politician in their team.
And over the past, what do you say, 18 months?
Yes.
How much criminality do you think those groups have actually been involved in while you've been dealing with them?
Well, the difference is, and I'm not qualified to say or to answer how much criminality have those groups been involved in. Loyalism and loyalist paramilitarism seems to me to be a label that some people will put on themselves. And they are disciplined organisations in themselves. I think you heard Jackie McDonald say that he didn't authorise some article that appeared in a UDA magazine. So people will put those labels on them. And in truth, Stephen, there are people out there up to no good. Are they up to no good with the consent or the knowledge or whatever or the orders of the leaders? I'm assured that they're not. And it is that assurance that I had to work through these 18 months with them. And it wasn't easy because I recognised the people and the history in the past that is associated with them.
But David, if what they're saying is true, so if the criminality that's been going on over recent months and years, but let's take the last 2 years as a window, right? The extortion, the racketeering, the protection money, the beating people up, sometimes the shooting of people, right? If that has been going on without their knowledge and therefore they cannot control it, what's the point of them releasing a statement?
Well, the point of them releasing a statement is that the work that they're going to do, and it's up to the public. I mean, we're absolutely brilliant here on coming down hard on people before we even give them a chance. And okay, they've had chances before. But what they're saying to the public is, and what I'm saying to your listeners are, let's judge this in 6 months' time. Let's make a judgment as to the work that they have initiated themselves and agreed to do in and around addressing the economic and the educational underachievement in their own communities, and in fact in renouncing violence and outlawing criminality. Now, they're saying that, so they're taking that task on board. And let's start from today where we are, as we've started with others from the day where we were. And I think that that's an important step. If these guys feel, then they feel.
How are they going to enforce it?
Enforce what?
The lack of criminality. How are they going to enforce a new edict in their community?
They have said, and I don't think it's nothing new. But
are they going to shoot the criminals? Are they going to beat up the criminals?
Are you really, really serious? Are you trying to be clever?
No, I'm not.
With that type of remark?
No, I'm not trying.
If you are, I don't really want to be bothered discussing that with you.
Hold on a second,
I'm
David. David, one second.
Let me finish.
Actually, I'll interject and I'll say that's an absolutely fair question for loyalist paramilitaries who have beaten people up, who have done things outside the remit of the law in the past. It was a fair question and I stand over it. And it was not a clever, facetious question.
Well,
now you can finish.
You asked me a question, let me finish. They have committed in writing in a statement, okay, that if there are those who attempt to use current or past associations with their organisations to further criminality, one, they will be disowned, and they should be aware that they will not be permitted to use the cover of loyalism, that's within their own disciplines, and that they expect, as I expect, and I hope you and the public expect, the authorities will take whatever steps are necessary to deal with any offenders.
But haven't they...
That seems clear, because what they're saying is, you break the law, then you should be held accountable to the criminal justice system, just the same as if you or I broke the law, we'll be held accountable.
Yeah, but here's my slight confusion. Surely the authorities have been doing that up to now anyway. Surely the police have been pursuing and targeting and trying to find out who those people are within loyalist communities who are breaking the law up to now, taking the law into their own hands up to now anyway.
Well, what's different? I hope that they have, but what these people are saying, and they're saying it to people who, I assume, walk about their communities with this label on them that I am a loyalist. They are redefining what a loyalist is in their terms. And a loyalist basically is, if you're a criminal, then you can't be a loyalist. I think that's something that we can move on with. I never have condemned the horror stories attached to loyalist groups, and the same goes for the provos. I sit in Stormont with former criminals, and they seem to have been embraced in some way because of their behaviour from when they took a decision. Let's see just how this works out for the loyalist paramilitaries and just see how they will fit into society.
Why are they still...
I can tell you they do want to.
Why are they still there?
How do you mean?
Well, do you agree with Jonathan Powell that they shouldn't disband? Or do you think, you know, they should disappear off the stage now? The time's right.
Well, that was a... their decision has to be a pathway to where they're going. We've always been very clear. And all the people that you saw at the press conference yesterday, Stephen, met at 12 o'clock before the press conference at 3. Just to go over all the points, to make sure that all those who were the leaders of various factions inside knew exactly what they are. The clear good thing was that I had brought the leaders and the people from the three paramilitary groups together for the first time in a long time. And what Jonathan Powell has said, I find, was a very, very interesting issue that he's addressing in terms of what he said yesterday. He was talking mainly about what you want to know, what everybody wants to know, when are they going to disband? And he said that, you know, well, his experience in the work that he does across the globe said that that sometimes doesn't always work. I think it's a very important thing now that has to form part of an important discussion that they need to fully consider, and everybody needs to fully consider. I've always been quite worried, and I think this applies to the IRA as well. And Jonathan Paul made the point that if one group cease, there will be others who will quickly come into that position.
So are you
understanding of loyalism is that there are others just sitting waiting to come into that position and to be, if you like, UDA Mark II.
So are you quite relaxed that the UDA, UVF, Red Hand Commando, that's who we're talking about here, are you quite relaxed that they continue to exist given their new promise?
They will continue to exist because that is the formation, that is the constituency of the Loyalist Community Council.
Yeah, but are you quite relaxed about that?
Well, I'd rather be dealing with them saying who they are, and that is who they are. I'd rather be dealing with them and have them making these statements as to who they are, because the journey that they now is the important part of the journey is I've got them to where they were yesterday. Now the important bit is to take that on and for them to deliver and deliver action.
Okay.
Let them be judged on their actions.
They are an illegal organisation.
They are, yes.
Now, you're essentially saying this morning, you've just said it, that look, you'd rather know who they are because they've made new promises, you can deal with them, rather than them being filled by someone else that might have a much more aggressive approach. Correct?
It's always been a worry for me, by the way. It's always been a worry for me when I got involved in this as to just what indeed might happen to loyalism if it didn't begin to operate as a corporate body, which it is doing now.
Okay.
If it didn't feel that it was on the outside and nobody really cared what they did or what they didn't do.
But here's the key question. One of the key questions, David. If you are, for the reasons you have set out, relatively relaxed about the existence of the UVF, UDA, Red Hand Commando, why were you jumping up and down about the IRA? Why does it not absolutely apply equally to the IRA?
Well, the situation and the development does equally apply. What I've got to say is the UVF and UDA and Red Hand Commandos have never said they don't exist. Their leaders have never said since 21 years ago, we don't exist.
So if Sinn Féin came out and said, yeah, the IRA exists, you'd be happy enough then. That would be it.
Well, it's not just as simple as that because there's an investigation going on at the moment and we'll know more about that on Thursday, I suspect.
There could be plenty of investigations going on as to what loyalist paramilitaries are currently doing.
Well, I think that extorting protection money out of their own community. Well, I think that's an important thing that needs to be put into the public domain as to what they're up to, what the assessments are, and we'll hear that on Thursday.
And
I reckon that we're going to hear a very scathing report on criminality by all paramilitary organisations right across the board.
But again, David, if the whole community in Northern Ireland are to buy into what you're saying, then people from the nationalist community and others, actually that's wrong of me to even say that, people from all communities are surely going to want you here, are going to want to hear you talk in the same language with the same tone of understanding about the IRA as what you are doing with loyalist paramilitaries.
Well,
and that's not the way unionism has reacted to recent pronouncements by the Chief Constable about the IRA. The Ulster Unionist Party have walked out. The DUP are resigning their ministers every other day. There can't be a two-tier approach to paramilitaries depending on their religion, can there?
At the end of the day, and when I spoke to the Chief Constable about this initiative, he was quite clear that wherever the law takes him and his officers, they will go. I'm quite content to leave that with the Chief Constable, that wherever the law takes him and his officers, they will go.
Well, given the fact that the Chief Constable has said, David, that the IRA is not involved in terrorism, do you think the Ulster Unionist Party, for example, should go back into government? And do you think the DUP should stop resigning their ministers?
First of all, I've said about... I don't really want to get into any other party's business, but I have said, as far as Simon Hamilton is concerned, that he should already be back in his office, because I think it's wrong of him, particularly as the health minister, not to be at his desk. In terms of what else they do, they make their decisions. They're playing politics between them. I don't think that either of things that they're doing really are of any benefit. And let's see how they get out of what this panel says, because the question then will be David McNairy, Peter Robison, Mike Nesbitt and others, do you now accept what this panel says? That's the choice that politicians will face on Thursday.
Yeah, this is the panel who report on Thursday about paramilitary activity.
North Carolina. Yeah. Do you now accept that? I know I didn't go and sit down with loyalists under any apprehension to the people I was speaking to. This is, and it's not a cliche, but this is the country that I know you love and I love. And we have got to have a society that really doesn't have paramilitary organizations, isn't destroyed by violence, that our children can grow up better in a better place than I had the opportunity, or indeed my own children had the opportunity to grow up in. So all I'm saying is they have put themselves in the cockpit.
Okay.
They have to deliver action.
I hear that. So there are so many questions I've got for you, David. For example, here's another one.
I wish I could speak to you for a couple of hours, Stephen.
Right. So given what these loyalist paramilitaries have said, do you take them at their word enough that you think they should be decriminalised?
That's an interesting thing, is in terms of deprescription. It might be a route that somebody with a better brain than me might have to assess, and that is whether or not all paramilitaries have reached a stage or will reach a stage when they can be deprescribed.
Well, given what the loyalist paramilitaries have said, the undertaking they have given, do you think the process should now start as to looking to decriminalise them?
I do think that that process should start, and I actually think they have helped that process by forming the Loyalist Community Council. And as I say, I repeat, the good thing is that the three main or big paramilitary groups from loyalism are in there.
Yeah, and equally, David, so what you've just said is you think the process should start?
Yes, I think the process actually has started.
To decriminalise.
Undertaken.
To decriminalise. For the authorities to look at implementing legislation to decriminalise loyalist paramilitaries, given what they've said.
I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, Stephen. It's going, it's going to be a long, long journey.
Okay, but equally,
at the end of the day, that journey does mean legislation.
Okay.
And that means that we have to have another assessment panel that is going to say and give a verdict on all paramilitaries.
So equally, David, equally, and it's really important that I ask questions about, you know, that would concern all communities in Northern Ireland. Equally, if this panel reports on Thursday that the IRA are not on a war footing, should the process start for the IRA to be decriminalised?
Well, I think that what we're doing is that we are implicating methodology to say that, and to be truthful to the society that you talk about, are all communities. And that is that there is a time now when we can say, and I'm making it very clear, that time is not today, and I don't actually see it in the very near future. But the process should begin where all paramilitaries should have a verdict given on their activities as to whether or not they should be demobilised, deprescribed, whatever.
And that includes the IRA?
All paramilitaries, as far as I'm concerned. I sit in Stormont with former criminals. I go to work with them every day.
They would deny being criminals. They would say they fought a war. They would call themselves
soldiers.
They
can say whatever they like, Stephen. But, I mean, if people are going to say what you're alleging that they're saying about loyalists. Well, I can't deny for the loyalists because I'm not a paramilitary loyalist. But I tell you this, I am a loyalist. And there is a greater constituency of loyalists other than the paramilitary loyalism. And that constituency, too, has to be heard. And it's a very important constituency.
OK, David McNary, interesting stuff this morning. Thank you very much indeed.